Chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. One of my favorite Saturday morning cartoons is Roadrunner. And some of you guys like that too. There are two main characters. Of course, there's only two characters. One is Roadrunner, go real fast. And another one is Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote, you have to give it to him, right? He never give up. He has that diligence, and he doesn't give up. And he also come up with this fancy gizmo gadget called Ekime Rocket or Ekime Explosive, all this Ekime. I don't know which company that is, but very verbal. However, whenever he come up with, for example, he has a rocket, and he's chasing after this roadrunner running ahead of him. He's about to catch him, and roadrunner make a sharp right turn, and he hit the wall, or he goes off to the cliff, and he look at the camera, he wave at you, and he goes down all the way down to the Grand Canyon, bottom of the canyon. What we're going to find out is Sambalat, Tobiah, and Arab are like that Wile E. Coyote. They don't give up. They are after Nehemiah. In a way, in real life, Satan is like a Wile E. Coyote. What am I talking about? That's right. He never give up. Does he know that he's going to lose his battle? Yes. But he wants to take as many as he can. If we believe that there is a God, you better believe that there is a demon. And they are very, very active, and they will do anything to hurt the body of Christ, to hurt heart of God. He really doesn't care how many people he can hurt or kill or destroy. The bottom line is he wants to hurt God's heart. Why? Because we are image after God's own image. And the more he hurt us, Bible says that God is not finding pleasure in the death of sinners. And hate is constantly before his eyes. So he does not care, God does not care for any of us getting hurt, whether we are born again Christian or not born again Christian. So obviously Satan is going after us to hurt God. Emotionally, I assume. This time we find Sambalat and Tobiah and Arab and Geshem changing their tactics. They are using entire Israeli people against Nehemiah by singling him out and try to hurt him, hurt his reputation, hurt his personality. In other words, they are going for the headshot. Before we go any further, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we prayed before, we are asking your Holy Spirit to be upon us, that we may hear your word, to understand your word. And don't let it be just another word from the man, but let it be from the Holy Spirit who wrote this book. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 6. We'll find out when did the attack occur. Now it happened when Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I have built a wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gate. Different style of attacks occurs at the time the wall is completed. Even though there is no gate yet, all the walls join together. Now it's time for celebration. This is typical. Why? When we have a mountaintop experience, which means when we are doing everything well and we're walking with the gods, and it seems like everything going well, we tend to what? Let our guard down. Yeah. And I've been telling our guys whenever we go up to the men's conference, 3 days of powerful teaching, when we are there, we just fed with the spiritual food. I mean, it's not a little C ration. You're talking about spread gourmet food, spiritual food, just lay there. We can go eat as much as we want to eat. From all in the morning devotion until night, 9 o'clock at night, we study the Word. That's all we do. Study the Word and have a fellowship. And literally, we are on the mountaintop. So close to God, you can almost smell Him. You can touch Him. Sunday afternoon, Sunday noon, we break bread and communion and then come down. Literally coming down from the mountaintop experience. And then come home. As soon as you start the car, car breaks down. Tire blow up. When you come home, something is wrong with the plumbing. Just to destroy the people's heart, there's something happened. Jason is a soldier, so he knows what it's like. When we get to, some of you have been in the military. When we get on the hill, take over the enemy territory, we don't open up the C-ration and eat that thing and celebrate the victory. What do, Jason? We set the perimeter, don't we? We set the perimeter and we distribute the ammunition, set up foxhole, bigger than more than one person, preferably two. Set up the perimeter, set up the, make sure everybody's know each other's and the communication is going. Then we break up the celebration. In other words, when we're going on top of the mountain, when we're having that mountaintop experience, that's the time we should keep the guard up, not down. This is about to have a time for the celebration, and we tend to let the guard down. We should not. That's when Satan attacks us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. Put that thing in your heart, please. Let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. First Corinthians 10, 12. Let him who think he stand take heed lest they fall. In other words, if we think we can handle it, guess what? That's the time we heads down. We must keep our eyes on God and run full force. From verse 2 until the end of chapter 6, we are going to find four different kinds of attack coming from the enemy against Nehemiah. We will go each one of them at a time. All right. Attack number one, we find in verse 2, is neglecting what we're supposed to. In other words, complacency. Kind of lay back, oh, I'm doing well, I'm not going to go really hard at it. That's what the enemy wants us to do. Verse 2, the Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono that we thought to do. They thought to do me harm. In other words, they are saying to Nehemiah, come on, come relax. You've been working so hard. Join us for the lunch in the plain of Ono. So what is the answer from the Nehemiah about the invitation to the plain of Ono? He said, oh no, I'm not coming. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 3 says, I sent a messenger to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah possesses a great crucial leadership skill we call discernment. Now, we have to define the discernment. The definition of discernment is very, very important. You might want to jot this down, please. Discernment is ability to judge matters according to God's view. Did you get it? Discernment is the ability to judge matters according to God's view of them. And not according to their outward appearance. I'll repeat it one more time. Discernment is the ability to judge matters according to God's view of them and not according to their outward appearance. We are often deceived by the outward appearance. Don't we do that? When we see somebody who has a three-piece suit and he's well-dressed and he carries a Bible, so we think he's a scholar. If we see somebody who is a kind of shabby dressing, clothing, and unkempt, crumbled clothes, we tend to think, yeah, right. Because outward appearance. Remember 1 Samuel, we learned the 1 Samuel chapter 16, where Samuel standing in front of the seven sons of Jesse. Because God told him over there to anoint the son of Jesse. So he had Jesse send all of his sons. The first thing he saw, the oldest son of the Jesse, and he's good looking. Now, Samuel should have known better. Because Saul, who disobeyed God, was good looking, had taller than anyone in the Israel. He was dark, handsome, good-looking guy. All the ladies would say ooh and ah to him. However, he's not the one God chosen. And no, God chose the first son of Jesse. That's why he's saying in chapter 16, verse 7, I'll just read it to you. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Here's the main point. For the man look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? Heart. God sees our heart. God, most of all, God sees our motive. That's the killer. Sometimes I wish that God just see the result. I did good. He said, no, you had the wrong motive. It's not. He said, okay, whatever. Talk to the hands, the face is not listening. I like to say that, well, but God doesn't work with me, so might as well give it up. Discernment, listen carefully. Discernment has nothing to do with knowing future. Sometimes it can include it. Discernment has nothing to do with knowing future. That's word of knowledge. There's a difference. Word of knowledge is knowing things that beyond our ability to know. And prophecy is another one, knowing future. However, discernment is viewing things in God's, from the God's point of view. There was one of the pastors in Calvary Tucson had a counseling gift. He was sitting in his room and waiting for this couple to come in. And the Lord is speaking to him that something he would not repeat to this couple. And so he said, nah, it cannot be from God. And this couple came in. They are not married. They are considering getting married, but they are going through some problems. So this gentleman, the pastor, is talking to them, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds him again, speak to them. So one time he asked, are you guys sleeping together? Oh, no, we don't. We're keeping ourselves very pure. And the Holy Spirit reminded him what they did before they came. And he had to speak out. He said, you guys took a shower together before you came. Both man and woman, they dropped their jaw. That is a discernment. Knowing evil. This is what the Chuck Swindoll, my favorite teacher, is speaking. I'll just read it to you. Listen carefully. Discernment gives us a proper frame of reference, a definite line between separating good and evil. It acts as an umpire in life and blows the whistle on the potential evil. It is particular as a pathology is appearing into microscope. discernment picks and chooses its date with great care. It does not fall for a fake. It does not flirt with the phonies. It does not dance with deceivers. Nor it does not kiss counterfeit goodnight. Discernment gives us extra edge. It's given by the Holy Spirit. Without the discernment, we cannot lead people. For example, I had the gift of this. I believe I still do. I had a gift of discernment during the 12 years of prison ministry. I had that to survive in the prison all by myself against the surrounded by the 30, 40 inmates who were murderer, child molester, rapist, you name it. One guy chopped his wife into the pieces, put in the garbage bag, tossed in the back of the garbage, his truck, drove around. Big guy. His bicep is thicker than my thigh. With those guys, I had to have a discernment. Knowing when they're lying, knowing when they're telling the truth. But still, I was fooled a couple times. Because I was not listening to the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go there. It is so important. How do we have a discernment? We'll get there, but this is the starting point. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Where is the 1 John? There we go. You guys have been welled up by the great theologian Jag. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Why is in the world am I demanding you guys to bring the Bible? Why am I asking you to bring the Bible? Correct. So you can compare what I say against the word. If I speak untruth, ignore me. Kick me out. But if I speak the truth, what happened? You gotta listen. You better obey what the word says. Christians today suffer many things because they lack discernment. They will buy any story that coming from the tube, Christian tube, or any one who's standing behind the pulpit and claim the word of God. Are they all truth? No. Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't use word of God in context, that's another reason why we say in the expository study, verse to verse, chapter to chapter, book to book, we cannot get out of context. If we use word of God out of context, we can make our own religion and what happened? Blind leads blind. It is terrible things for me to see how many people fall for the garbage of false doctrine. You know what? Nothing bothers me that much than the people falling into the false doctrine. That literally boils my blood. Let's go one more verse. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Proverbs right before Ecclesiastes. I couldn't pronounce that thing last Sunday. 27:6. Don't laugh at me, Troy.
I didn't hear what you mispronounced.
Ecclesiastes. It's one of those full, especially for the foreigners. Verse 6 of chapter 27, probably. Faithful are the wounds of the friends, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Put that in your heart, please. Kisses of enemies are deceitful. So how we are going to develop the discernment? Can we have discernment? Yes, Holy Spirit gave it to us. But just because Holy Spirit gave it to us, that doesn't mean it's going to be all full-blown, flown. That means flown means a full blown altogether one word. I've been hanging around with the rubber for way too long to come. Number one, if we want to see things as God sees them, if we want to see the things the way God sees, first thing we have to know is we have to get to know the Word of God. Many of you need wisdom, like me, read Proverbs. There's 21 chapters. In other words, guess what? You can do one chapter a day. If you're a businessman, you need a good sounding business principle, read the proverb. If you want to do something in the Word of God according to God's way, read proverb. Proverb will guide you. Proverb wisdom is like a silver. Wisdom is like a friend who will never desert us. Second, when you develop discernment, is discernment comes through the spiritual maturity. You might say, no, duh. Yeah, it only comes from the spirituality. We cannot demand God to give us what we want. That shows nothing but the immaturity. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews is right before James in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Are you there yet? Not yet? Going once, going twice? All right. 5, 12. 5, 12. Hebrews 5, 12. For by this time you are your teachers, need someone to teach you again first principles or oracles of God. You have come and need meal, not solid food. For everyone who partakes the only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But the solid food belongs to those who are full, those are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. I had, as you guys know, we were blessed to have our fourth grandchildren. And this kid, when she grew up a little bit more, first thing she would start to do is stick things into what? Her mouth. All the babies, if you notice, all they have one thing in common. They have everything into their mouth. They don't know what it is. They try to taste it. I don't know why they do it. They stick in their mouth. That shows us immaturity. If we take everything without thinking, without testing, without putting against the word of God into our mouth, observe it, we are different than those immature babies. Am I making sense to you? So, first thing we need to do is put it against what? Word of God. We need to test every spirit. Discernment can be given as a gift from the Holy Spirit. So, if you need discernment, simply ask Him. It might be for you and waiting for you to receive. All we have to do is just ask Him. If He chooses not to give it to you, He will have a reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Say with this is chapter 12 means is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Listed. Someday we will talk this over again. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. To others, the working of miracles. To others, see. To others, what? Discerning of spirit. To others, different kinds of tongues. To others, interpretation of tongues. So it is a gift available for us if we ask. As Holy Spirit determined, according to Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30, He will give to us according to His way, not our way. All right, Nehemiah chapter verse 4. Let's go back there. Then Nehemiah. Everybody go back to Nehemiah. You there? But when they sent me this message four times, I answered them in the same manner. Nehemiah persisted and faced concerning his work. All right, second attack. Second attack I see it is rumors and slanders. The first one was complacency. Second one is slander and rumor. We find verse 5 through 7. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with the what? Open letter. You must remember what it says. Open letter. In his hand. And it was written. It is reported among the nations. It's underlined. It is reported among the nations. Geshem says that you and Jew plan to rebel. Therefore, according to this rumor that you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king, and you have also appointed the prophet to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now this matter will be reported to the king, so come, there let us consult together. Actually, on the line, the open letter. In New Testament, we call it epistle, open letter. Epistle is not an apostle's walk, epistle is an open letter. That was the answer for the summer seminary student, trust me. It was that epistle is why apostles. And they are going to be the next generation pastors, guys. All right. This open letter is what? That means anybody can read. That's the reason why he sent an open letter. Sanballat wants everybody to read with accusation and slander and rumor. It says reported. It is reported. Keep that in mind. People think gossip has no harm. Is that true? Until we are the one who is the receiving end. Gossip kill people. Gossip kill the people's reputation. Gossip kill their personality. Gossip is not good. Sometimes it's worse than physical harm. If you notice, this letter is composed in the same manner. Number one, I asked you on the line, it is reported. Source is unknown. Did you notice that? It didn't say, yeah, guy on the next door of my home, he's telling me that his name is Johnson. But it is reported. So gossip and particular letter has a common, something in common. Number one, source is unknown. Number two, it's filled with exaggeration and inaccuracy. Is it true gossip tend to grow as it passes from one person's mouth to another person? Come on, let's face it. Camp gossip, break room gossip, it goes on like that. Third, rumor leads to the person hurt and misunderstanding. They try to hurt what? Who? Nehemiah. Was he trying to be a king? Absolutely not. The last rumor employed and by those who is evil. And this letter is meant to be evil. So when somebody gives us that juicy gossip, what do we do? Add more! Spit them out! What we do? No. Some of you guys know this. Some of you guys heard this. I call a filter that you have to use. T-H-I-N-K. Some of you guys know this. You know, our parents used to say, think before you talk. That's exactly what it is. Think. Let's put any rumor, any gossip, put in this filter. Is it true? H stands for, is it helpful? And I stand for, is it inspiring? And stand for, is it necessary? K stand for, is it kind? Number one. T stand for, is it true? H stand for, is it helpful? I stand for, is it inspiring? And stand for, is it kind? Put the juicy rumor or gossip through this filter. See what it comes out. If it doesn't, don't do it. Is it truth? Find the source. asked, do you mind if I run by that person? Is it true? If they say, oh, no, don't say that. It's just between you and me. Stop. I don't want to hear you. Is it helpful for them or somebody else? Is it inspiring? Is it edifying that person? If not, stop. Is it really necessary to talk about that? Or is it just on a hot air? Is it kind? Does it hurt somebody? If it hurts somebody, stop. There's many ways to deal with problems. Rumor is not, gossip is not the way to deal with it. Let's go back to verse 8. Let's go back to Nehemiah. Verse 8, chapter 6. Then I sent to him, no such a thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. In other words, all in your stupid brain. He's a lot more diplomatic than I am. Then all they all were trying to make a phrase saying, their hands will be wicked in work, and it will be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. So if somebody, when we find somebody trying to hurt us, bad slander and rumor, what do we do? Run them off the road and tell them they died? That sounds all very nice, appealing to us. Now, look at what the name did. He went to God. Hebrews 13 said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We don't need to do the defense of our own. God will take care of us. He's a better attorney than anyone we can find. Besides, it usually starts $150 on our ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't cost anything. As a matter of fact, they pay us very well. We have a lung full of air on our heartbeat. And for the retirement, we have a mansion in heaven. Can eat that retirement plan. Fourth attack comes with the scare tactic. 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah and the son of that guy and son of that dude who was a skilled informer, and he said, let us meet in the house of God. Listen carefully. It sounds very nice. Within the temple, let us close the door of the temple for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Sounds awful nice. He's there to protect him from something like a ninja coming at night and try to kill him. What's wrong with that? Tell me, what's wrong with that? Right? The two things I see wrong. Can you tell me what it is?
The source.
Okay, what else? Okay, it requires insight coming from the testament. Remember King Uzziah was a very good king until something got into his head, his pride into his head, and he went to the temple to burn incense. What did I say? He went in where? Temple. Was king allowed to be temple? No, only priest. Is Nehemiah allowed to be in the temple? No. In other words, they're making him the sin for the sake of his own safety. And also, they are trying very hard to make him worry about his own safety. They are trying to make him the sin against God with the two things. Number one, going into temple against the word of God, against the Mosaic law, and also they're trying to make him to worry. We went over this rather thoroughly on Sunday morning about worry. I missed one illustration. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a nice rain. If the weather stays this way, keep the temperature in 30 degrees, tomorrow morning what will we have? Fog, correct. If you gather up the entire fog that covers 7 blocks of city, do you know how much gallons of water you can fill up? How much water do we get in this fog that covers 7 city blocks? Guess.
80 gallons.
Do I hear 900? 7,000 gallons. All right. We're going up. 10,000. No? Yeah, no, it's not a trick question. Just asking you a question. A glass and a half. a glass and a half of water vapor in 7 city blocks destroy, strangled city traffic, shut down airport. That's what he does. That little bit of things in egg life is a glass and a half that covers the entire thing, obstructing our vision. We cannot see. That's why it is so important for us when we pray, have a right perspective. Who God is and what the situation is. All of them, when you compare this little situation against the mighty God, we don't worry. Am I making sense to you? Am I walking to wall? Talking to wall. That's nice. Thank you. She said it. He said it. She said it. Oh, that's a start of. Let's go to verse 11. What? It's been reported. Yeah, that's nice. Verse 1. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I would not go in. Then I perceived, here's the discernment. I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me because I and Samuel had hired him. For this reason, he was hired. Then I should be afraid and act that way and sin. See, worry is sin. Because not trusting faithfulness. So that they might have a cause for evil and they might reproach me. My God, remember I assemble according to this work and the prophetess, no idea whatever that term is, and the rest of the prophet who would have made me afraid. The discernment from the Holy Spirit, Nehemiah knew, is a stop. All right. That was an attack three. It's four. Last attack is a betrayal. This hurts more than anything else. Why? Because you trust somebody, and all of a sudden you realize that person is against me. Let's go to verse 15. So the wall was at the 25th day of Elul, and the 52 days, and it happened. When our enemies heard of it, and the nations around saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. See, when we do good things, God gets the glory. All right. Also, in those days, the north Judah sent many letters to Tobiah. The letters of Tobiah came to them. For many in Judah pledged to him because he was in son-in-law of all those people's name and married the daughter of that guy's name and whatever. That. And also they reported his good deeds to me and reported my word to him. Tobias' letter to frighten me. It is necessary to be in God's will all the time because we have a sinful nature, we sin against God. So we tend to fall out of not allowed is as if it's a mistake. No, we commit sin and get out of God's will. However, the pressure mounts against us to sin against God. If it's not bad enough for us to have betrayal inside of us, that is a sinful nature, and outside comes along with the rumor, with the slander, and all these attacks. And then we make ourselves to be vulnerable by adding those outside influence into our heart. The sleazy movie, lyric songs, or even start up rumor. As we pray before, let's do what we learn. They're trying to have another notch on our Bible belt. Let's do what we learn. Let's not be just here, but let's be a doer. All right, let's make a few applications. Number one, guess what? Devil knows our heart burden. How about he knows how to push that thing? Don't you think he knows how to push that thing? He knows. He knows our weakness sometimes better than ourselves. Only way we can overcome that kind of thing is through the Word. The Word. Put in the heart. That's why it's so important for us to memorize the verses. Simon said, let us put put the word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. We know that Satan lies. He knows how to lie. He knows how to accuse us falsely. He knows how to really get to us, under our skin. But if we have God in our heart, number one, we wouldn't worry about it because we God will protect us. God is faithful. That deletes about 90% of our worry, doesn't it? And the rest of it is a lot easier when we know that. Second application, no man can lead or work God if he allows himself to be governed by what the people think. No man can lead or work up God if he allows himself to be governed by what the people think. This is kind of my opinion. Probably you disagree with me. And you're wrong, of course. You know, look at the teenagers. They want to be different than us. Different than parents, right? So they would dress a different way. But if you they all look alike. They all have the same baggy pants coming down their butt, showing their box shorts. And they all have a short, crooked hair. In my opinion, they look like a cookie cutters. Made of the same mold. Because they are concerned about other people, what other people think about them. Let's not think about what other people think. Who should we care about? Whose opinion should we care about? I cannot hear you. What? God. God's opinion matters more than anyone's. Huh? Only one. Yep. Third, gossip is not from God. No, duh, right? Gossip is not from God. Let us spread, let us not listen. If we hear, what do we do? What do?
Think.
What's a T? Is it true? H. Is it helpful? I. Is it inspiring? N. Is it necessary? K. Is it kind? Put it through. If anything comes up, it's a truth. If not, don't even start it. Don't even talk about it. Just drop it. All right. I'm done. Any questions?